is that every man, woman, boy, and girl would experience what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And today, the passage, we want to talk about pursuing peace with others. Now, when you see that title, I already know what you're thinking. Isn't that frightening? I'm just going to guess. You don't have to tell me I'm right, but I think you're thinking this is going to be a sermon on how to get along with each other. Partially true, but not completely. Verses 12 to 17, these passages, it's amazing what's in this passage today. And I want you to get an understanding of where we've been. You know, I can't say all the things we've talked about, now here we are, but last week, at least we should be able to go back to last week. God trains his children so that they will live a life, they will yield peaceful fruit of righteousness. And you remember that? That was kind of what we talked about last week. And peaceful fruit of righteousness carries through to today in this passage. Now, it's not a mistake that everything's not lined up. Language means things, and we use language to communicate, and so here we are going to use language. It says in verse 12, therefore, and you know what that means because everybody always says that you got to see what it's there for. Well, I'd have just told you what it's there for. Because God trains his children in righteousness and holiness. This is true. This is what he wants us to do. And you got to think of it like we're a team of people running together. And we're helping each other run together. We're helping each other work together with our hands. And we're all together on a team. We're not against each other. We're for each other. And everybody is moving towards a goal together. And so you have to do some things. First of all, like for instance, if you saw somebody in the ocean and they're waving their hands and they're waving their hands, they're probably not being friendly. They may be drowning. And so you might want to consider that. And when you see them, you think, okay, I need to go out and help them. You have to figure some things out. One of those things is, can I swim? Am I strong enough to save that person, or is there going to be two drowned people out there? You know, you have to think about that. It's the same way in what we're going to talk about today. You have to, first of all, make sure that you're strong so that you can help others who are weak. If you're weak and you're trying to help somebody else who's weak, probably not going to work too well. And there's a lot of that. Don't act like there's not a lot of it. How many people do not walk with God but can tell you that you need to walk with God? To tell you that you're wrong, they can point out all of your faults, but they don't see theirs. Well, that's very common. And if you don't believe it, you're experiencing it right now. And if you didn't get that, wow. We'll leave it alone for a little bit. So look at this. And there's another thing I want to point out, because I like to point these kind of things out. It's very helpful. The Bible is knit together. It goes together from beginning to end. Everything, every part fits together with every other part. There's a vast amount of things in the Bible. Yes, there are a lot of information, but this is one example here. He says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. So the command there, the imperative is strengthen. I want you to strengthen. Strengthen what? Hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. This is the same way of saying the same thing. Hands and knees that are weak need to be strengthened. So, well, Pastor, you know, what is that talking about? If you think it's talking about physical hands and physical knees, you're wrong. It's an illustration. It's something to help you. Well, so Pastor, I'm not that far gone. I knew that. Where did the writer of Hebrews get this phraseology? So, well, he could have just, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you would be right. The whole Bible is written by the Holy Spirit of God. We've got that, inspired by God. But look at this passage in Isaiah 35, verse 3. Now, I've added some parenthesis there to explain. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. This is from Isaiah 35, 3. Literally, the word encourage there in Hebrew is strengthened. And then the exhausted is literally slack hands. So strengthen slack hands. Strengthen the hands that are weak. Perhaps this is something that the writer of Hebrews had in his mind as he was writing. And strengthen the feeble is literally strengthen the tottering knees. Some of you know what that's about. You have tottering knees. So every time you have tottering knees, that your knees are about to give out, every time you get up, you think, oh, I'm not going to get up, I'm going to go down. Every time you walk across the room, there's some noises happen, and it's not the floor, and you think, what are these tottering knees? Think about this verse. Think about your spiritual life. Now, physically, I may be having some aches and pains here. I may be having some weakness here and there and some problems, but how am I doing spiritually? You know, the weakest person physically may be the strongest person spiritually. But how am I doing spiritually? Some of you may be physically fit, but not spiritually fit. And sometimes you'll compensate and say, okay, well, as long as God is blessing me with good health and all the things I need all around me, I can do anything. Well, I must be all right with God. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that hate God that are doing fine physically. Prospering, all kinds of things. You can't go by that. So anyway, this is the passage in full in Isaiah. And I just wanted to put this in here because it's so encouraging. And encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage and fear not. Don't we need that message today? People are afraid of everything today. No courage. Fear not. Jesus said that a lot. Fear not. You know why he said fear not? Because people were fearing. It's a fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. That's a promise of God. That is when Jesus Christ comes, the second coming of Christ, this is what's going to happen. God will come with vengeance to recompense those who've rejected God, but he'll save you who've received him. It goes on. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. The Arabah, that's the desert. This is what's going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. And this is a taste of what that was like when Jesus came in his earthly ministry. He healed the blind and the deaf and brought life to those who were dead. And he brought spiritual sight and spiritual hearing and spiritual life to people. There's examples in the physical realm to show what's going on spiritually, that you can know Christ and you can have a personal relationship with God. So anyway, I wanted to share that from Isaiah because I thought you'd love it. And I know you do. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. So now he says, let's go back. I'm not going back if I do that. Let's do this. We're going to skip by there. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And then we'll go to this. And make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So he's saying, to strengthen the hands and the knees that are feeble, but and make straight paths. Just make a way that is straight. You know, the Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to have a straight path. Now, I don't know if you've ever stumbled when you were supposed to be walking, if you've ever fallen when you were supposed to be standing straight up, but if you don't have a straight path, it's funny anymore. I'm just confessing, you know, the people that knew the words to the songs earlier in the song, over 60 people. Sometimes you'll walk on something and just the smallest little stone can be right, and you'll step on it and you'll almost fall down just stumbling. Just one stone. Well, if you're not walking where you ought to be walking, you might be falling. And that's a picture. And that's what he's talking about. Make straight the path. Make sure everything in your spiritual life is a flat path, the way it's supposed to be. Walk where you're supposed to walk and you won't stumble. Walk where you're supposed to walk and you won't stumble. That's the point. Well, that's part of the point. I'm not finished with the point. The point's not here yet, but this is part of the point. You get the point? Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame, that is, tell you, get in your mind the idea of your knees, you know, and you don't want it to be where it goes out of joint. You want it to be healed. You want it to be healthy. The idea is that a healthy body can do a lot of great things physically. A healthy spirit can do great things spiritually. If you're walking close with God, you're on the right path, things go a lot smoother in your life. And for eternity is a great picture, but there's some things about that that at the beginning I entitled a message, Pursuing Peace with Others, and you thought we were just going to have to get along. We're going to have to do better than that. What are you talking about? I'll tell you in a minute. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Turn your foot from evil. So if you're always going off the path, always going over towards the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, if you're always moving towards what you want to do and not what God wants you to do, or if you kind of like to play near the edge, kind of want to have the world here and God here, and that doesn't mix. It doesn't mix. And you turn your foot from evil and say, well, almost every person in the world, when you'd say, turn your foot from evil, won't think what it means. They'll think, you mean you don't want us to have any fun? You don't want us to enjoy life? You don't want us to, you know, really go for all that you can go for in life and be satisfied? And I think you're about as dumb as a rock. If you think that's what that means. Last time I checked, evil is bad. That's why we call it evil. It's bad. Evil is bad. Right? It's a Sesame Street moment. Evil is bad. Bad. It will kill you. It will destroy you. It will ruin your life. What fun is that? So you can have fun on your way to hell, but hell is bad. You can have fun on your way to ruining your life, but your life's still ruined. Why would you want to do that? And there, people think that if you walk in that straight, narrow path that God wants you to walk, you're going to be a boring person, never have any fun. Where did you get that idea? That idea came from people that don't do it. People that don't walk with God are the ones who came up with the idea that there's no fun. There's no satisfaction. There's no joy. There's nothing. The happiest and most contented people I know are the godly people in the world, the people who walk close with God. You just can't make them fall, can't make them stumble. They're satisfied and content, and life is sweet. Isn't that the truth? Yes, it is. Then here's the part where the title of the message came from. When I first read it, I wondered, what's this talking about? And that's what I always do. And I put it the way it's written grammatically. You know what I'm talking about? Pursue peace. And who do you pursue peace with? With all men. And you pursue peace and the sanctification. That's a good word. That's a fancy one. Without which no one will see the Lord. So we're pursuing peace and we're pursuing sanctification. There's a why in there somewhere. There's a why in there somewhere. Why are we doing this? Pursue peace with all men. Peace is not getting along with people. It is not a bumper sticker that says coexist. It's funny, that bumper sticker coexists with all the symbols of all the different religious beliefs. Those religions don't believe the same thing. They don't get along. Some of them want to kill the other ones. So it's coexisting is like a ceasefire. in Israel, they still hate each other, and they're just reloading. Cease fire means I'm not going to shoot right now, but as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to shoot you. That's not peace. That isn't peace. And peace for the believer, in those who walk with Christ, to have peace with all men. What's the goal? The goal to have peace with all men is not so you believe what you want to believe, it doesn't matter what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe, we're just going to get along and act like everything's all right. I want you to know, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and he's not your Lord and Savior, it's not all right, no matter whether I think it's okay or not. And me getting along with you is not the point. Pursue peace with all men in sanctification, that is holiness. You want to be separated from the world, separated from evil, because you know Christ. It's the process of you being made like Christ, being holy. And peace with all men, pursuing peace with all men, is you want every man, woman, boy, and girl to come to know Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. I'm pursuing peace. That is, that you can be at peace with God. You will never get along with me if you hate Jesus. Now, I'm not going to be mean to you, and I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm going to tell you that you're on your way to hell and that you hate God, but we're not going to get along very well. We're not going to have peace. If I'm pursuing peace with you, that means you must come to Christ. I'm pursuing your salvation. I'm pursuing you that you'll know Christ. That's what I'm doing. I'm not here to tell you you're all right. I'm telling you you need to be right. You're walking in the thorns and the shrubs. I'm saying there's a path over here. It's a path over here. Come on over here. It's easier to walk over here. And you're over there going, I'd just rather walk over here. That's weird. But aren't people weird? That Almighty God would make you, create you, sustain you, provide for you, and you pay him no attention. That's weird. You weren't made to be like that. People are not made to be at odds with God. They're made to be with God. He made us for himself. We're made by him and for him. So why don't we act like that? Why don't we get there? So pursuing peace with all men is what we're trying to accomplish in our daily lives. So how do we do that? We strengthen the hands and the knees that are feeble. What's weak in your life? What's going on in your life that's keeping you from walking with God? What's keeping you? Well, it's your thinking. Isn't that where it starts? I know some people accuse people of acting without thinking, but they do think before they act. What do you think? You need to have your mind renewed. The Word of God needs to get into your thinking. You need to read the Bible every day. Not just read it, say, I'm going to flip on a page and read it. Okay, I read my, check it off, I read the Bible today. No. Read it so that you'll understand it. Read it with understanding. Read it with clarity. Read it in context and what it's talking about. And when you find out what it's saying, apply it to your life. And when you apply it to your life begins to change. And the Holy Spirit of God has come to live inside of you, and he rearranges your life, rearranges your thinking. You begin to forgive people that you didn't think you could forgive. You begin to love people that are unlovely, and you begin to be the kind of person that Jesus was when he was on this earth, the kind of person that is pursuing peace with all men. Jesus came to bring peace and salvation, but he's also coming to bring a sword and judgment. The kind of peace that God wants us to pursue is the kind that he has. You can't be at odds with God and be at peace. And the world should quit playing around. I mean, the church should quit playing around with the world. The church has become too worldly. We've become so much like the world that if you're part of the church or you're not, your life is the same. You're living for yourself all the time, just gathering up whatever you can gather up, feel good, what do you want to do to feel good, and all of that. That's what the world does. If you really want to be content in your soul and have what real life is about, life that really matters, that deep inner contentment in life, if you're looking for that and you get rid of your anxiety and have that fear not, that courage, you have to strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and have to make a straight path. And the only way you do that is from God's Word. What does God's Word tell us to do? Now, this passage isn't finished because in this passage, now when you first read this passage, you think, what is this talking about? Okay, I've got this, pursue peace, I'm going to try to get along with people. But that's where you made the mistake, didn't you? I'm accusing you of it because I made the same mistake first time I read it, you know. So wait a minute, what is this really saying? And when I found out, it continued in verse 15. It says, see to it. These are a series of commands. You've got strengthen, make straight, pursue, now see to it. For those of you who are excited, see to it's the last one. Just want to let you know you're going to be all right. This is wraps it up. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So first of all, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Come short of the grace of God means you don't know Christ. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. See to it that none of you come short of the grace of God. I want you to come short. See to it. Make sure this happens. When you're around, first of all, make sure you're ready, that you know the Lord, and make sure everybody else is. Do you know the Lord? Do you really know Jesus? That's what he says. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. And then he says, see to it that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So if there's a root of bitterness in your life, you're going to have trouble helping other people find peace. If you're bitter because you know what those people did to me? You know what they said to me? If you only knew what happened, and you act like what happened to me is worse than anybody ever had happened to anybody else, and you won't believe I'll never forgive them for what they... Well, you've come short of the grace of God. The grace of God will show you how to forgive. If you can't forgive, you don't know Jesus. He doesn't have any, well, exceptions. Oh, yes, that's right, they've hurt your feelings. Oh, yes, that's right, they said terrible things about... Oh, yes, they've done horrible things to you. It's not in there. It's not in there. You got to think about eternity. You got to think about eternity, not now. Now is terrible. Eternity is wonderful when you know Christ. A root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. It begins with a misunderstanding most of the time. Most of the, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. You heard about that? And then what comes after that? Christmas. Don't ask me how I do it. Happens every year and I catch on. But it's also a time of the year when, oh man, we're going to have to get together with family. And some of the family doesn't get along with other parts of the family, and some of the people you don't, every year it's going to be like this. Oh, is so-and-so coming to Thanksgiving this year? Oh, is it going to be like, oh, here we go. Is that the way it is with you? Pursue peace. I'm not talking about just getting along. I'm talking about you need to pursue peace. Everybody in your family know Jesus? Does everybody know Christ? How can you help them come to know Christ? If you're bitter about something that happened in your family a million years ago, and you're still holding that grudge, how are you going to win people to Jesus? How are you going to do that? Say, but yeah, but I'm right in this argument. So, okay. You're right in the argument that's in your family, but I'm not talking about any particular family. I'm just making all this up in case you're thinking somebody told me about your family. I'm right in the argument, so since you're right in the argument, the rest of them can just go to hell. Some of you may have even said it in an argument in your family. Those words, what were you thinking? It doesn't matter who's right. It matters who's right. Are you right with God? It doesn't mean you have to give in and say, okay, now I'm going to say, I was the problem. If you weren't the problem, you weren't the problem. But you want to make peace so they can have peace with God. You want to forgive and love so that they can have peace with God. And you can have a family in heaven for eternity that gets along very well, thank you. He says, see to it that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Now, you can read about that in Genesis 25, 27 to 34, and then Genesis 27, 30 to 38. I'm not going to go through that passage. It would take longer than you want me to take. So I'm not going to do it. So you can say thank you later. The point is, what in the world was going on with Esau? The Bible says here, don't let there be no immoral or godless person. In a setting of the church, immoral and godless people don't fit. So what do you want to do? You want to bring them to Christ. You don't want to kick them out. You don't want to push people. You want to bring them in. How do you bring them in? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And your life, with your hands strengthened, you can strengthen their hands. With your knees strengthened, you can strengthen their knees. You can help other people walk, make that straight path. You can help them walk that same path that really is the fruit of peaceful righteousness, that peace that passes understanding. They can have that. And you want to show them that. You want to show them by your life, I have that because of the grace of God. And you can have that because of the grace of God too. But don't stand around pretending like you're somebody that's right with God when you're not. It doesn't work that way. Your secret is not well kept. Everybody already knows. Thought you were fooling everybody. Thought you were good. I go to church every Sunday. Oh my. I bet there are lizards around this building that go to church every Sunday. What do you think? Does that make a Christian lizard out of that lizard? I don't know. The geese around here go to church during the week. Does that make them Christian? I don't think so. What are you going to do? Stop and ask God to forgive you. And ask him to come into your life and take over. Ask him to fix your heart. Ask him to help you. Now the Bible says here, let there be, or see to it that there be no immoral or godless person. How do you do that? How do you do that? Jesus taught us how to do that. Most churches don't do it. I mean, now we've gone to meddling. Like, we're going to line up everybody and say, where are you in your walk with Christ? Is that what we're going to do? Well, we don't do that. How do you do it? It's supposed to happen because we love each other. And when somebody strays off the path, you say, I love you and I want to help you get back on the path. And if the person says, no, I don't really want to listen to you, then you take somebody else with you and say, look, we're here to say we want you to get back on the path. If you know Jesus, this is where you're supposed to be. And then if it's, no, I'm not going to do that, then you tell it to the church in a private business meeting with closed doors. And it's not to say, look, I want everybody to know the gossip on this person. No, it's to say, I want everybody in this room to pursue peace with this person. Pray like you've never prayed before. Try to help this person as much as you can help them. And then say, look, we're all after you. We want you to come to Christ, and we want you to be right with Christ, and we want your life to be fulfilling, and we want you to be content. We want you to have that peace that you can have in Christ. That's what we want for you. And then if they say no, then that person is to be treated like the person they are. A person that is godless, a person that is outside of the body of Christ. Now, how do you treat people that are outside of the body of Christ? You first of all let them know we believe you're lost, and then you try to win them to Jesus with love, with patience, with kindness. That's called church discipline. We don't do it. We should be doing it. Just saying. That wasn't originally in the sermon, but it does fit pursuing peace with all men, doesn't it? Boy, the Bible is so full. And if Jesus hadn't told us in Matthew's gospel to do those things, I wouldn't be wanting to talk about it. Who wants to tell somebody else they're wrong and they need to be right with God? Not me. Who wants to say, hey, we need to talk to you? Nobody wants to do that. We've got to get better at that, don't we? See, pursuing peace with others wasn't what you thought it was it? Me either. When I started studying the passage, I thought, that's not what I thought it was going to say. But God's word is always right and always helpful. I don't know where you stand with God today, but you know, wherever you are, it doesn't matter where you are, you're one prayer, one sincere prayer away from being right with God. You can be right with God just like that by surrendering to Him. If you'll do that today, He'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll bring you to that place where you need to be. And when you surrender to Him, you begin to understand just how wonderful He is. All the things that we sang before will become part of your vocabulary, the things that you think. And Jesus will become real to you, and you'll understand more of what God had for you all along. And that's my prayer. Now in this invitation time, let's all stand together. Just stand together. This invitation time, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And as we pray together, I want to ask God to help you and help me to do what this passage says we ought to be doing. And then I want to invite you to come to Christ. If you haven't come to Christ yet in your life, I invite you to surrender to Jesus in this time of prayer. And then maybe you're a guest with us today. We're so happy that you've come to be here today with us. This may be the place God wants you to be a part. This may be your church home. And if God is leading you in that direction, I would like you to come and tell me that during this invitation time. We'll pray together. What we do is we meet with people who want to join this church, meet with me. We talk about the church and tell you all about the church. And then you can tell me all about you, and we get to know one another and pray about whether God wants us to be here or not together. And then in a service like this, you come forward and become a part of this church as we vote. That's the way we do it. I just wanted to explain that. Now let's pray together. Father, today the most important thing in this room is that every person here knows you. And if you're here today and you say, I'm not sure I'm saved, I'm not sure I know Jesus, would you just talk to Him and say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead that I could be made right with God. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today and take over. I surrender my whole life to you and ask you to forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from my sins. Make me right with you. Change my life. I give my life to you. And the greatest miracle ever recorded takes place when someone surrenders to Christ. And you tell somebody, make it public today in this service that you've surrendered your life to Christ. And if God's leading you today to become a part of this church, you come as God leads you as well. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name.